The great feast of Christ the King is coming up just 2 days from now. So we have an opportunity to reflect a little bit on his kingdom and how it is planted in the midst of the kingdom of this world. We can reflect on the contrast and the coexistence of these two kingdoms and the disorders that creep in when we allow the kingdom of the world to have greater priority than the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Most people would acknowledge that God is the king, and if people have any faith at all, they would acknowledge Jesus as the king, and that's why it's a festive celebration. But in practice, it becomes a little bit more complicated because we spend a lot of time in the world doing things in order to live in the world, and the reign of Christ sometimes gets questioned or neglected, sometimes defiled. I think it's good to reflect on this. The fact that today's readings both speak about the necessity of purifying the temple, of reconsecrating the space that belongs to God that has been defiled. In the first reading, it's the story of the effort of Judas Maccabeus and his clan to regain possession of the temple and then to reconsecrate it. You know what happened, and we've been studying this in the last several days. The secular government, if you want to call it that, the Greek civilization had imposed itself on the Jews and had persecuted the Jews. They suffered terribly. And it got to the point that the Greeks even took over the temple and put in the temple a pagan idol of some kind that the Jews referred to as the horrible abomination. It was a real defilement of the temple. Well, eventually the Jews, they gained enough strength to push back and to regain their territory and to regain Jerusalem. And so in this story here, it says, well, they got to the temple. What could they do? They had to purify it. They had to take out the horrible abomination. They had to tear down the defiled altar. They had to reconsecrate it to the service of God. It had been profaned. It had been defiled. Had to be made holy. And once that was done, there was this joyful celebration, this 8-day celebration in honor of God, in reparation for the defilement, but also in praise and thanksgiving. 8 days, which is now celebrated in the Jewish tradition as Hanukkah. Hanukkah is an 8-day celebration. So we can also see that in our Catholic practice of celebrating octaves, it comes from the Jews. 8-day celebrations. We have an octave of Christmas, we have an octave of Easter. Octaves are an ancient way of observing the greatest celebrations. So this reading then gives us this share in the joy of dedicating to God what belongs to God, of removing what shouldn't be there from the sacred space. The gospel does something similar. Jesus' cleansing of the temple. It's the same temple, in fact, that was rededicated in the first reading. Here in Jesus' day, it is being defiled again. Not by pagans, but by the Jews themselves, who were using the temple for buying and selling. It doesn't mean that they were doing corrupt practices, although they may well have been. When Jesus says, you've made the house of prayer into a den of thieves, he doesn't mean that they're simply stealing from each other. What they're really doing is stealing from God. They're stealing the glory that belongs to God and taking it to themselves. They're stealing the house of God and making it their own house. So it's a more serious theft. And Jesus, you know, drives them all out. So an incident from, I don't know, a couple hundred years before Christ, an incident from the life of Christ. And then we see, well, this process of dedicating to God what belongs to God, or of rededicating to God what belongs to God, this process has to take place over and over and over again, because we're constantly subject to the temptation to use what belongs to God for ourselves. Let me share a couple of modern, very current examples. A couple of weeks ago, there was a story from the United States of a popular singer. I guess she's a singer, actress, I don't know who she is, never heard of her before, but she made a music video in a Catholic church in Brooklyn, New York. The parish priest had given permission, thinking, well, it's a good way to welcome young people and connect to youth culture. He didn't know what this woman was going to do. I guess he didn't pay enough attention. So she filmed a music video of, I don't know what, but some secular, provocative. So she's prancing around in the church in her sexy costume and then posts it on YouTube. Well, of course, once the church found out, first the parishioners, but then the bishop found out, wait a minute, that's a defilement of a sacred space. So the parish priest was immediately reprimanded. He issued an official apology, acknowledging that he should not have given permission. He didn't know that she was going to be dressed like that or was going to act like that. I don't know how exactly she acted, but you've seen probably seen music videos. They're all pretty much the same as far as I can tell. They're all just a lot of suggestive content. Anyway, so it was clearly a wrong use of a church. And then the bishop went there, the Bishop of Brooklyn, and rededicated or reconsecrated that sacred space so that it could be used for worship again. So it's exactly like what we see happening in these readings. In the days of the Maccabees, it was the secular world that had imposed itself on the temple and had to be driven out. In the days of Jesus, it was the Jews themselves declining in their understanding of what a sacred space was for. So in this case of this parish in Brooklyn, it was the world wanting to use the church for its own religion, you could say, its own secular observances, and the church allowed it, which it should never have happened. Just the other day, there was another news account, not quite the same, but related. It has to do with another pop singer, much more famous. This one's Taylor Swift. She's kind of treated like a goddess nowadays. I don't know. I'm certainly no expert in pop culture. But anyway, she's in Brazil. And you know the iconic statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil, the Christ holding out his arms like this. Anyway, to welcome Taylor Swift to Brazil, they projected onto that statue a t-shirt, like somehow connected to Taylor Swift. Maybe it's something she wears in her concerts or something. Anyway, everyone understood that that was a way of welcoming Taylor Swift to Rio de Janeiro and to Brazil. It says, welcome to Brazil. Now, that's not exactly the same as using a church for a scandalous video, but it is using a statue of Jesus Christ for a pop singer. It's using a Christian symbol for a secular event, which is, again, this misplaced priority. So what's that statue for? Is Jesus supposed to be a billboard for pop singers? Is that why we put up statues of Jesus Christ? No. That's maybe not turning the house of prayer into a den of thieves, but it's turning a sacred image into a billboard for a secular event. Now, you say this sort of thing happens all the time. Maybe not as prominently as these cases I'm just mentioning, but it happens in the heart of everybody who is looking for some advantage or trying to do business, get something, you know, in order in this world. And what happens is our dedication to Jesus Christ the King gets eroded, neglected, and finally defiled. You can think of, to give another example, what has happened to Sunday culture. Sundays in Christian cultures were always dedicated to the worship of God. That's what Sunday's for. It's the Lord's Day. But when the Lord was given less attention, and as cultures get secularized, Sunday, it becomes a kind of vacuum. Since we're not going to worship God or pay much attention to God, we don't know if God's that important or not. Well, Sunday suddenly becomes an empty space. It can be filled in with something else. So what goes into Sunday? Sports, you know, big, and then shopping and business. Another example that comes to my mind, I guess because I'm from the United States, and yesterday was a big holiday in the United States, Thanksgiving, which is a secular holiday, but it has a religious roots, because who do you give thanks to? It doesn't make sense just to be thankful. Oh, let's be thankful. Thankful to whom? Okay, well, so it's a chance to give thanks to God. But anyway, Thanksgiving is seemingly covered over with a lot of other interests. And now the day after Thanksgiving, they have given this name Black Friday. I don't know if you heard of this. It was never called that when I was living in the States, so I'm not that familiar with it. But that's what seems to be the name now. And I have been flooded with emails and advertisements for Black Friday sales. In other words, the whole purpose of Thanksgiving is to prepare for sales, business, Christmas shopping, Christmas season. The tradition is that the Christmas shopping season starts on the day after Thanksgiving. It doesn't make any sense here because Christmas starts in September here, so it's not the same. But the idea is that the purpose of Thanksgiving, even the purpose of Christmas, is business. Business. That's another example of turning the house of prayer into a den of thieves, or of using the kingdom of God as a way to promote the kingdom of this world. It's a tendency that is very easy to miss, because we do live in the world and we do have to do business and we do have to buy and sell, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's part of our mission in the world. But to make that the priority is the problem. To turn the house of God, the house of prayer, into a den of thieves. So since this is the tendency, as we prepare now for the Feast of Christ the King, we should be recognizing, oh, in order to prevent that from happening, we have to push back, push the attractions of the world to their proper space. Now, sin, of course, has to be driven out completely. Sin is, there's no place for sin in the Christian life. But there is a place for buying and selling. There's a place for activities in the world. But those have to be in their proper place. I was thinking, what would happen if we took the arena or the Capitol building, and we projected on there a Christian image, you know, Sacred Heart of Jesus or something? There would be an uproar. There would be people say, you can't use our arena to push your religion on us. You can't use our government building to push your religion on us. Well, you see the mentality? You can use religious venues for secular things, but you can't use secular venues for religious things. It's a misunderstanding of what's most important. Well, here we are, we're honoring Christ the King. He's not just the King of churches and churchy things, he's the King of the universe. So ultimately, even the most mundane things, our money, our businesses, our possessions, are all meant for the glory of God. And they can be used for the glory of God if we are faithful to our own mission as His followers. So we praise your glorious name, O mighty God. That's the song response. We praise your glorious name, O mighty God. You are the King. You are exalted as head over all, and everything belongs to you. Riches and honor are from you. You have dominion over all. In your hand are power and might. It is yours to give grandeur and strength to all. We give praise and glory to Jesus Christ, our King.